decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods. I am your squirrel. Good to have you with us this Monday morning, the 18th of October. Days are flying by. Thanksgiving's coming up. Christmas is coming up. Winter is coming up. If you live in the southern climes and you're able to enjoy this time of year without having to worry about snow in your impending future, I wish you well. But up here in the Piney Woods, we're all set for winter to begin. Folks are thinking about getting the snow tires put on pretty soon. Our traditional first snow is always right around Halloween. So that is coming up in just a few weeks. Wow, time is flying by. Well, welcome to Squirrel Chatter. I am your squirrel, the host, and it's good to be with you today. It is it's fun because I was looking at Squirrel Chatter this weekend hit 5,000 downloads. So thank you, all of you who are out there listening. It's one of the things, people are out there listening. It's kind of scary thought, really, but glad to have you with us. Squirrel Chatter is part of the Christian Podcast Community. Go to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com and check out all of the great curated Christian podcasts over there. It's all good stuff, and I highly recommend it if you're looking for something to put on your podcast catcher player thingy to put into your ear or listen to in the car or wherever you listen to podcasts. Glad to have you with us. Now, today, this week, I guess the top story is that General Colin Powell just passed away. It was announced this morning, age 84, complications of COVID. 84 is a pretty good run. Former National Defense Advisor, former head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, former Secretary of State. Agree with him or not, he was a prominent figure in politics as related to the military and foreign policy over the last 30 years or so. Obviously, he'd been around longer than that because he had to rise to the rank of general. But yeah, he passed away today. So our condolences are with his family. Well, the topic I want to talk about this week is education. I've been saying I was going to talk about it, and it's been looming, and I wanted to talk about it. The whole situation in the Loudoun County School Board has been a catalyst for this. It's not the origin of it. It's the catalyst of it. And there is some news over the weekend in that regard. The one of the school board members who was facing a recall before the whole sex scandal thing broke, has resigned over the weekend. So that's, I guess it was a case of there was going to be a recall, and she knew she was going to be out. And with all the lawsuits that are pending and the possible even federal charges for failing to report sexual assault. They're looking at Title IX violations. They're looking at, Title IX violations. They're looking at, civil rights violations. So it's Loudoun County School District is in a world of hot water. And so keep the parents and the students in your prayers. Keep the school board in your prayers. Also, pray that God would bring them to repentance and a knowledge of the truth in Jesus Christ. So I want to talk about education this week. I've got some thoughts, as that probably doesn't surprise you. Over the years, I have become more and more supportive of Christian education and homeschooling education for the children of Christian parents. And I think it's important that the children of Christian parents receive distinctly Christian education. The fact is that the schools, now more than ever, the schools do not reflect, nor do they reinforce, the values of the parents who, in blissful ignorance, put their kids on the bus every morning to go to school. A friend of mine actually posted an article this morning. Article's called "Homeschooling Won't Save You" by Nikki Truesdell. And this is from the Expository Parenting Ministries blog at expositoryparenting.org. Thank you, Duffy, for posting this. And there was a quote in there that I want to read to you. The quote is, "Wherever your children are being educated, they are being trained. And in the American public school system, that training is a secular, Marxist, anti-God training." Think about that for a minute. We see this to be true. We see this in the growing support for socialist economics and liberal politics that we're seeing in young people. They're being taught that. Most of them are not coming from socialist households. They're being taught it in the schools. We see it in what the schools teach regarding to the LGBTQ issues, the whole LGBTQ movement. The Loudoun County schools covered up the rape of a 15-year-old girl because the perpetrator was a boy wearing a skirt, and the assault took place in the girl's bathroom where the boy supposedly had a right to be. To report it would have damaged the whole transgender program that they're trying to push. If it had been an avowedly male student who raped a girl in the school, the reaction would have been 100% different. There would have been cries of rape culture and toxic masculinity and "we have to do something" all over the place. But because the perpetrator was a boy who said he was a girl, and because everybody has been talking about, when they started talking about these transgender policies and letting boys use the girls' rooms, we were like, no, that's not going to work out well. So they didn't want to say anything about it. They tried to cover it up because it hurt their agenda. That agenda is this Marxist, anti-God, secular agenda that Nikki Truesdell talks about in her article. The schools are no longer supporting, or if they ever have, they're not reflective of the values of the communities and the values of the parents. Let me use my own county's schools as an example. Montana voted strongly for President Trump in the 2020 election, and both 2016 and 2020. In 2016, he got 56.2% of the vote. In 2020, he got 56.9% of the vote of all the voters in Montana. Since 1968, Montana's electoral votes have only gone to a Democrat one time, and that was Bill Clinton in 1992, who got 37.6% of Montana's popular vote, which topped George H.W. Bush's 35.1%. And I think that remaining vote was split between third-party candidates, with the highest percentage probably going to Ross Perot. Had Ross Perot not been running, Montana probably would have voted for George Bush. My point is, Montana is a very conservative state. Now, my county is more conservative than the state is as a whole. I said Trump got 56.9% of the statewide vote in the 2020 election. But in my county, he got 71.3% of the vote. So almost 3 out of 4 people in my county voted for President Trump. Now, I have not surveyed the teachers at our schools, but I've worked with most of them for the last decade. I drive team and activity bus, and I substitute teach. I'm pretty sure that the staff and faculty of our school district did not vote for President Trump in the same ratio or in a ratio anywhere near the ratio that the county voted for President Trump. In fact, I think if we had just polled the teachers, they probably voted overwhelmingly for Biden. Not all of them. I know some of them are very conservative. Some of them are strong Christians. It's a grab bag, but it's by and large reflective of the school system of our nation and the teachers' schools and the product that they're turning out. Now, one of our teachers, and I've talked to a parent whose student was in the room, one teacher told a class that if their parents voted for Trump, it was because they were racist. This is in a county that 3 out of 4 voters voted for Trump. So basically this teacher is saying that 3 out of 4 of the parents of the students in the classroom are racist. Now, I don't believe that for a second. But our schools do not represent our community's values. And this is by design. That's the scary thing. And that's the thing that I don't think many Christian parents truly understand. Our school system is not designed to affirm traditional values. Our school system is designed to subvert traditional values. It's designed that way. It does this on purpose. Now, in the history of American education, this design can be traced back to 2 individuals, Horace Mann and John Dewey. Horace Mann was in the 1800s, John Dewey was in the early 1900s, and these are the guys who really shaped our educational system. And I'm going to talk about them tomorrow and Wednesday, Lord willing. But what I want to end this segment with today is the fact that the education of children is the God-given responsibility of their parents, not the school teacher's responsibility. It's not the school district's responsibility. It's not the school system's responsibility. It's totally not the government's responsibility. It is the parents' duty to educate their children or to see to it that their children are educated. This means that even when you're sending children to a school to be trained, it is the parents' responsibility to monitor that training, to counter that training, to reinforce that training, to what they're being taught is the parents' responsibility. And if they're not being taught what the parent, the values and beliefs of the parent, if those values and beliefs are being subverted, the parent needs to counteract that, because the education of the children is the parents' responsibility. This is why it's so frightening when the Attorney General and Department of Justice put out a memo saying that parents who speak up at school board meetings, especially parents who are objecting to CRT, critical race theory, being taught in the school, and the transgender agenda, our Attorney General wants to consider them to be domestic terrorists for taking the responsibility that is their God-given responsibility to monitor and influence the education of their children. It's the parents' duty to educate the children. We get this from Scripture. Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. That's the Old Testament. Ephesians 6, verse 4 in the New Testament. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, if you've read the Bible, and I hope you have, and if you've read the law, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, the law that God gave through Moses to Israel, you will understand that that law wasn't just religious. In that law, there are rules that pertain to every aspect of life. There are rules in there about how to conduct business. There are rules in there about how government should act. There are rules in there about how neighbors should act toward each other. It's not just our religious duty to God, or it's the fact that our duty to our fellow man is part of our religious duty to God. That's what we are to teach our children. The Bible touches about every aspect of life. Religion, politics, business, it's all in there. And this is why we should be teaching the biblical values to our children, not letting the government teach it. So we will pick that up again tomorrow, and we'll look at how our education system, start looking at how our education system got to where it is today. Where did this design come from? What is the design that Mann and Dewey have imposed upon our culture? And why is that so detrimental to our children and to our nation as a whole? So hope you stay with me for Squirrel Chatter later in the week, and we will look at that in more detail in the days coming up. Now let's get to our reading. We are reading through the New Testament in the Legacy Standard Bible. We are in the book of 2 Peter and chapter 2 today. Now, let's begin with our prayers, first for our leaders, then for ourselves, and then for our study this morning. O Lord, our Governor, whose glory fills all the world, we commend this nation to your merciful care, that we may be guided by your providence and dwell securely in your peace. Grant to the President of the United States, the governors of the various states, and to all in authority, wisdom and strength to know and to do your will. Fill them with the love of truth and righteousness, and make them continually mindful of their calling to serve this people in reverent obedience to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2. Again, reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. But false prophets arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels who sinned, but cast them into the pit and delivered them to chains of darkness, being kept for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter, and if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trial, and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who go after the flesh in its corrupt lust and despise authority. Daring, self-willed, they do not tremble when they blaspheme glorious ones, whereas angels, who are greater in strength and power, do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct, but captured and killed, blaspheming where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed, suffering unrighteously as the wages of their unrighteousness, considering it a pleasure to revile in the daytime, to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and unceasing sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, they are accursed children. Forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he received a rebuke for his own lawlessness, for a mute donkey, speaking out with the voice of a man, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are springs without water and mists driven by a storm, for whom the black darkness has been kept. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by sensual lusts of the flesh those who barely escape from the ones who conducted themselves in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. For if they are overcome, having both escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and having again been entangled in them, then the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. The message of the true proverb has happened to them: a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, after washing, returns to wallowing in the mire. This is the word of the Lord. Well, thank you once again for being with us today, and I look forward to continuing our discussion on education as we move through the week. Do the things you ought not to do, Don't do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. And whatever you do, do it under the glory of the Lord. Thanks for being with us this morning. God bless. Take care.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.